Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save, and achieve your financial goals. I'm Joanna Tovia, a journalist here at Money Magazine. Today, we'll be talking about feelings. Not just any feelings, though. We're taking a deep dive into the feelings and beliefs that impact your financial success and how you relate to the topic of money. One expert who knows all about the emotions related to managing money is financial advisor Dawn Thomas. She's a senior financial advisor at The Wealth Designers, where she guides clients to a brighter financial future and a better relationship with money. Dawn, welcome to Friends with Money.
Thank you for having me, Joe.
Let's get started, and we'll kick off with, how do people's emotions get in the way of them making smart money decisions?
I think the emotions bit is that, why am I doing things irrationally? You know how sometimes you get so confused while you've done something when you know your brain is telling you you should be doing something else? And that's about our experiences from the past. You know, quite often is experiences from a child. And all of us are walking around with these barriers and limiting beliefs in our head and not actually knowing it. So the thing about emotions, it's linked to something. And the difficulty about it is that you've really got to dig within your experience in your early, you know, your childhood, what's happened at home, your upbringing, to be able to really unpeel why you're behaving the way you are.
So can you give me an example of someone who's experienced something in their childhood that's impacted their adulthood and how they deal with money?
Yeah, so that's, you know, we've heard a lot about girl maths and, you know, are we going to be talking to girls differently about numbers? Because there's this association with being good at mathematics and whether that's going to make you good with money. I have a client who is amazing, and I can see as a financial advisor, has all her financial planning actually up to date. She's done very, very well. But that experience she had when she was in primary school, a teacher telling her that you're not good with numbers and therefore you'll never be good with numbers, that stuck in her head. So that gives her sheer anxiety whenever it comes to money decisions. And she has said countless times, I'm just not good with money, even though the evidence says otherwise.
So interesting. Mm. Can we talk about some of the more common emotions when it comes to money? Guilt, apathy, and shame. Let's start with guilt and how that can get in the way of handling our money well.
Yeah, I think a few of us have felt, you know, you've made a purchase, and then after that purchasing decision, you felt guilty. First, you feel a bit of euphoria because it's made you feel better on some level because you're feeling down about something, you know, and that expenditure could be used as a coping mechanism for something that is making you feel sad, you know, angry, or something you can't keep on top of emotionally. But then the guilt sets in because, you know, on some level, this may not be something that you're using your money responsibly for. But that cycle is not good, because you're kind of going between buying something to get that positive feeling, and then you're kind of cycling back to feeling really guilty about what you've done. You know, so in that instance with guilt, you know, if you're sort of working on your experiences and what triggers you and your money journey moving forward, you've got to cut yourself a bit of slack. Just go, okay, look, I wasn't perfect up till now, but I'm trying. And every single purchase I've done in the past has given me some sort of positive experience to kind of acknowledge all those things and then put the things in place now to move forward so that you can avoid some of that guilt that happens through those actions.
So it's being aware of the cycle, I guess, too. You know, I think we've all been there where we've made that impulse purchase on that you've seen on Instagram in the middle of the night, wake up in the morning going, I think I made a purchase.
Yes, it's and that's the thing as well, like, you know, going online, social media has a way of sucking you in and making it very easy to purchase and making you feel in the moment that this is actually a need, you know, not a want.
Absolutely. Okay, well, let's move on to apathy and how that can get in the way of our finances.
We've also heard about how people go, oh, it's just too hard, you know, the too hard basket. So I'm going to just avoid it totally. So things like, I find, you know, even budgeting, right? Budgeting has come to be known as a very boring exercise because I think the people who advocate for budgeting look too serious. I think they look far too serious. So it doesn't connect up to the everyday person about how they can manage their budget. So for some people, for example, if they're being asked to look at a spreadsheet, a spreadsheet that doesn't connect to them, immediately there's something that triggers them to go, this is too hard, I don't understand. And you have those feelings like, oh, I'm closed off, don't want to know. So it's just better not for me to know. Someone else can actually look after that. If you're in a partnership as well, if you're part of a couple, what we see as financial advisors is that one couple is given the job to deal with the financial matters and the other one does a lot of the running of the rest of the life, life jobs, Yes. So whether it's, and women have sometimes also described this as mental load. They just have too much that they are trying to deal with from a day to day. So it doesn't leave them a lot of space to be putting their energy towards something that can sound quite out of reach for them to understand. So that's where that apathy is, not because someone doesn't really care. They've kind of been locked out of that conversation for different reasons. And it could be just having too much on their plate or just not having it actually being explained to them in a way that makes sense to them. So for example, budgeting is not something I find fun as a topic personally, even though I'm a financial advisor, but I brought my son into it because that was a bonding experience for me. So, you've got to kind of learn in a way that suits you. And I felt by doing it with him, it was kind of fun, but we were also kind of talking really about key money lessons. And I didn't want him to be having that apathy towards it as well. So I would say, do it in a way that's fun. Even if you do it with a glass of wine, some cheese, a cheese plate, do it in a way that's you.
Yeah, what a great idea. And I think if we think about what kind of learners we are too, like if we're visual learners, maybe make it a more visual exercise, make it pretty. That's what I would do probably.
Yes, Joe. I mean, a spreadsheet that if you don't color code a spreadsheet for me, I'm like, please, that is just not inclusive. Please give me some flashing flashing lights and glitter and you've sold me. I'm there.
Exactly. Okay, so the next emotion we're going to talk about is shame. How does shame play into money management?
Shame is it's similar as well, like, guilt. I think you kind of experience it when you've had a money interaction and then there's the shame as well of either your purchase or the shame that you've not actually done well enough as well. I've felt shame as well, being a financial advisor. And I think, have I put my family forward enough? We talk about things like even the motherhood penalty. Now it's quite a hot topic because of the gender pay gap data. And me being a full-time woman in the workforce, being quite risk adverse as women tend to be, not wanting to jump into more risky situations, I kind of look back and go, have my family, been put backwards because of me, of my attitude. So, one of those things about shame is that whether it's shame or whether it's guilt, you need to identify it because it's not a useful emotion to have around money. It means that you're not having a joyful relationship with money. You've got to kind of recognize that, where is it coming from? Has someone shamed you in the past? And I've done this work. So I'm not a money mindset coach, but I've gone through a money mindset course as a financial advisor. And that involved me having to unlock a lot of my memories as a child. So I would say, there are fantastic courses by amazing money mindset coaches out there as well. I'm connected to a number of them. Something like shame, if you're feeling it, you're feeling guilt. If your relationship is not joyful with money, it's likely to be a mindset thing. So it means that it requires you to have to dig back to your past and go, why am I feeling this way?
Some help with that would definitely be useful, I think, for most people. Mm. When we're talking about shame, does comparison come into it at all? So I imagine like even between siblings or between colleagues or friends, people are comparing themselves to others.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that the whole comparison thing is not helpful because I think everyone runs their own race. If you are looking to get yourself a car that you can't afford, get yourself clothes you can't afford, anything that you can't afford, in the end, giving you, anxiety or shame that you don't have it, you've got to kind of question where that is coming from. Your household decision, that's between your household and that's personal to your family. It's personal to you. You don't really have to explain yourself to anyone else. So I think, you've touched on a fantastic point, Joe, is that people need to be confident in their money choices. I found around Christmas time, it felt very stressful period because I feel you've really got to keep up with people and people are giving you presents generously and, presents to your kids. And then you're supposed to give presents to everyone else. And I think financially, oh my gosh, it's a huge blow to the budget where I was not getting any joy out of it. So, 2 years ago, ask myself and even talk to my close family and friends and say, can we actually just peel back the excessiveness of Christmas that comes around? And it's, again, it's a household decision what you do. But if that's not giving you joy, I question myself, why am I doing it? Why do I feel like I have to comply when my family could choose to use money a different way? Like, we would choose to go on a holiday and save up for that and have quality family time that way, then presents going to the kids that may not even be used, you know, after that initial few days.
That's a really proactive way of handling that. And instead of the possibility of feeling shame around it, everyone's probably relieved because everyone doesn't end up with a whole lot of extra stuff in their homes when we've already all got so much stuff, so many things. I think Yes. It's great to bring these things up in conversation.
You really touched on it, Jo, is that if it can also feel scary to bring it up because you feel like you're not good enough financially, you know, and actually it's all about choice. How our family uses to choose the way we spend our money, that's our personal choice. And that's what we should stick by. And I think if people who are in your life, if they love and support you, they will understand the choices that you're making around money. You know, if you can't go out for that dinner, that's okay. That's always an option of staying in. You know, if the purpose was to actually have a good time with each other, you don't have to go out and spend for something you didn't intend to spend to.
And I guess it's about how you define success as well. I mean, there's financial success and there's success might mean for you, I've got extra time to spend with my family.
Yes, deeply personal. So if you've come to that decision for yourself and your family, just stick by it. And the people around you who don't understand, that's on them. You know, you can't bear this weight of shame, anxiety, like all these things that are not giving you a good relationship of money just because someone else doesn't understand what you're doing.
On that note, can you describe what a healthy relationship with money looks like?
A healthy relationship with money is actually getting joy out of money and actually feeling in control of your money position, right? So if we go back to, if we say that the first step of any planning journey is actually your mindset, if you can actually uncover what your triggers are, that's really good. But then, you know, the part two of it is that you could be, again, you could be in a couple and your partner may not have been come up to the same journey that you have where they're being made aware, right? So how many of us have tried to have conversations with our partners and it's quite sometimes tense when it comes around money because everybody's had enough by that time, you know? So we have to be aware that if two people in the household, and it's hard to achieve, so just that's something that I am acknowledging, is that if you come further along in your journey, you know, give the other person the space to get to where you are. Because if they are telling you, like in my household, I told my husband, let's do a budget together. That was actually quite of triggering for him. He suddenly went, are you saying to me that, you know, he made it sound like I was not trusting his ability to manage money. And that's not what I was saying at all. So be prepared for that as step one, that if you're trying to bring your partners into it, successful relationship with money then in that household is having your kids actually see calm money conversations, joyful money conversations, open money conversations in the household. Because, you know, we're not talking about it enough, or when we do talk about it, it's in highly stressful and negative kind of scenarios, you know. So if you can change the energy that is surrounding money conversations at home, that is huge. You're going to be far ahead out of anyone, even before we're talking about what's in your bank, because that's going to set up your kids.
Yeah. I love that. Do you think it's also important to celebrate the things we've done right with our money and talk about them?
Yes. You know, Molly Benjamin has a book called Girls Just Want to Have Funds. And she talks about it in the budget chapter. Is that, okay, you just have to go, like, you were not perfect all this time. That's fine. Just let it go. You just got to let it go. So in all this process, like, you can't beat yourself up because that's not helpful for you to move forward. You know, you got to just acknowledge that that's the journey that you've been on up to now. And there were reasons for that. But the moment you take action now and you're starting to move forward, you know, little steps where if we say that money mindset could be really step one, number two would be looking at your budget. And number three would then be looking at the rest of the areas of your position to tidy up, right? There's a lot of financial adulting that needs to happen around, you know, estate planning, your insurances, your superannuation. You know, none of these things are making your listeners very excited about at the moment, but it's a bit of a process. Like, break it down. You know, there's that saying of how do you eat an elephant? you know, one bite at a time, you know. So give yourself the space to tackle it in your own way and your own time as well.
So Dawn, could you please give us 5 tips to better manage our money?
I would say resources are a key tip. You know, you're listening to this podcast right now, so that's well done to you. There are fantastic podcasts out there to help you with your journey. In addition to this one, you know, you've got things like Financially Fierce. You've got This Is Money. You know, listen to them wherever you go because you're kind of learning as you go along and you're being entertained. So podcasting, fantastic. They're also fantastic finance books. So number 2 is get yourself a finance book. And these days, you know, there's the audiobook option, there's the there's the ebook option. So whichever way you want to learn as well, like I mentioned, girls just want to have fun. There's Money School, Sort Your Money Out. There's also Kids Ain't Cheap. So fantastic books written by Australian authors. Like I'm so excited that we've got so many of these great books. And a lot of them are writers that are women. So that gets me even more excited. Number 3 is look into yourself. It's a quick tip that I'm telling you now, but it's a long process. So maybe after this podcast, just think about back to your childhood and any key memories you have around money. Number 4, bring your kids into the conversation or your loved ones or young people. Sometimes it's actually great to just be able to talk it out with someone else. It's almost like money therapy. just you know, share that experience. I know I've shared that with my kids at the dinner table, just telling them, oh yeah, do you know how, you know, my parents were with money. This is how it made me feel. This is what I'm trying to do differently. And of course, tip 5 is, you know, just start now in whichever way that you can. Fantastic resources on Money Smart that can get you going as well. There's all these things around you. And the only thing that's stopping you right now is just yourself. So take a step forward, whichever way you can.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I feel more confident about my financial future already. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Friends with Money. For more news, tips and advice on all things money, head to moneymag.com or pick up the latest copy of Money Magazine at your nearest newsagent. We'll be back next week with another action-packed podcast. Be sure to tune in. Until then, bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.